Here he is, Ron Kovic.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for that kind introduction. Can you hear me? I want to thank Mariana. Is she here? Mariana and Susan, co-chairs, who put this beautiful and important day together. Give them a hand. I also want to mention a friend of mine who's here, who's already spoken today, and who is an extraordinary human being. If I have a hero, then he's a hero of mine. He has given his heart and his soul on behalf of peace and on behalf of justice. And he has been committed to peace and creating a better world for many, many years. Blaise Bonpain, give him a hand. So when they talk about patriots, when they talk about patriots, and when they talk about Americans and American citizens, this is an American citizen who is both an American citizen and a citizen of the world. These are the type of attributes of citizenship we should be adhering to. Loving our country, but at the same time also doing what Topanga is doing today, building bridges of love, of kindness, of friendship, of cooperation with both Afghanistan and Iraq today. Topanga is speaking on behalf of many Americans who cannot speak and will not speak and have not yet begun to speak in this country. Topanga has the courage to come together today and to say that we can have a better world, that we believe that a better world is possible. I remember the late Alan Lowenstein once said, I was at Hofstra University, I had just come back from the war. It was many years ago, and I hadn't even begun speaking out against the war yet. And I'll always remember some words that he spoke that day. He said, it is better to reclaim our country than abandon it. Better to reclaim our country and abandon it. Often during the last campaign, which is what I like to call the last 6, 7, 8 months of this extraordinary peace movement that many of us here, many of you here today, participated in, because there will be many campaigns to come. Blaise talked about it today. This is just the beginning. We are going to change this country. Often, never doubt for a moment how strong you are. Never doubt for a moment that this country belongs to you. And never doubt for a moment that someday in the future, we are going to reclaim this country on behalf of the American people and all the people of the world. And we are going to create a country that cares about life and that cares about human beings. This last campaign was a difficult campaign, but it was a beautiful campaign. There are many people in this audience who have gray hair like myself, so they've been through quite a few campaigns. I was wounded in 1968. In the demilitarized zone. I was a Marine, and I grew up in Massapequa, Long Island, believing in the American dream, inspired by John F. Kennedy's words. All of you remember, many of you here too remember, ask what you can do for your country. And I joined the Marines out of high school in 1968. I wanted to be a hero. And I spent 2 tours of duty in Vietnam as a United States Marine. And on January 20th, 1968, I just saw Sean Casey O'Brien over there. January 20th, 1968, I was paralyzed from my mid-chest down. And I've been in the wheelchair for the last, how many years? I think it's 35 years. And I just want to say today that it is great to be alive. It is wonderful to be alive. I am so grateful to be here. In front of all of you, I was just thinking back for a moment to Memorial Day. What was that, about a week ago, Memorial Day? And there was something I was listening to on the radio in my apartment. They were talking about someone was at the wall in Washington, the Vietnam Memorial, the wall. How many of you have been to the wall? I've been there too. And they were talking about, they were using all sorts of words about the people who had died. And I thought for a moment as I sat in my wheelchair, 35 years after being wounded in Vietnam, on this particular Memorial Day, I thought about how close I had come to having my name on that wall and not being before all of you here at this moment on this beautiful Saturday in late May of our lives. How close I had come to not even being able to speak before all of you to come back from that war. The first bullet hit my foot and it blew out the back of my heel. I still have a part of my heel missing from the exit wound from the bullet. And then I started to get up. I started to move after first being shot, and I just started to move. And if I hadn't moved at that moment, the bullet would have certainly hit me in the head and killed me on January 20th, 1968, in the demilitarized zone. And I, for some reason, I just started to move. I was in a prone position, and we had been attacking a village. And I started to get up, and just as I moved, the bullet, which should have hit me in the head, hit me in the shoulder right here. And it went through my lung, collapsed my lung, and it hit my spine at a ferocious velocity, I think at 2,200 feet per second. It's like getting hit by a train, but it was a little bullet. And it did so much damage. And bullets do such great damage. And the bullet hit my shoulder, went through my lung, collapsed my lung, hit my spine, severed my spine completely, and paralyzed me from my mid-chest down. The doctors told me in Da Nang, in the intensive care ward, that the bullet, when it went through my shoulder, had missed my artery by that much. I would have surely bled to death if the bullet had gone either way this much. I don't think I've even talked about this in all these years. Last week I thought about it, and I thought about how I wanted to tell all of you today how fragile life is. I wanted to share that with you, how grateful I am to be here, to be speaking, to have a voice still, to be alive in this beautiful world that we live in. It's such a beautiful place. And to be trying to make it a better place. And that, when I heard them talk about the names, I could not help but feel that I could have been up there very easily. You know, when I went to Washington, it was many years ago, it was difficult for me to go back to the wall. It was hard. It wasn't easy. And I remember wheeling down past all the names who had died because of a decision and decisions that had been made by this government of the United States to go to war. And sometimes, you know, there's beautiful rhetoric and there's very patriotic words that have been spoken over the last 6 months, over the last year, over the last 30 years, over the last 200 years. But I don't know if people really comprehend, really understand what it means to get shot, what it means to lose a life, what it means for a mother or a father, not only an American mother and a father, but an Iraqi mother and father, and then a mother and father from Afghanistan as well. We're talking about human life. We're talking about the preciousness of our lives, of our bodies, of every breath, of every heartbeat. That's why today is such an important day. Topanga Canyon, with its hands and with its heart today, with its courage, with its innovativeness and its creativity, with its imagination, Topanga Canyon today, with its initiative, is building a bridge to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to the rest of the world, to humanity. Topanga Canyon is speaking on behalf of millions of Americans, saying that we care about life, that we know that love, compassion, caring, community, togetherness, cooperation are much more valuable to us, much more valid than bombing, killing, destroying, and brutality. Our government has represented that for too long. Our government has represented that for too long, and it's time that we change. We need to change the priorities of this country. Often I said over the last 6 months during this last campaign for peace that I believed that this was an extraordinary moment in American history. I still believe that today. I believe that you were born to take this country back and to make this a better world. I believe you were born to find ways, alternatives to violence. I believe in my heart, having lived with this physical challenge for the last 35 years, and I know it intimately, that violence is not a solution. It is not the answer. That we can creatively find nonviolent ways to solve our problems. There is a way. We know there is a way, and we'll find that way. Don't tell us that it's easier to bomb. We know better than that. We have tremendous potential in this country, in this beautiful country that we live in. We have a tremendous capacity for creativity. You heard it on the stage here today. We have a wonderful sense of humor as a people. We have a faith. We have a faith in something better. Not through bombs, not through threats, not through intimidations, not through what is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. That is not the way that we are going to go. We are going to find a different direction. We are going to find a different patriotism in this country. And we will make a different path. We will make a different path to peace, to community. We will redefine patriotism in this country. And we will not stand for a patriotism that kills, that bombs, that intimidates, that frightens, that terrorizes other people. That will not be the patriotism that we will stand for. We're getting sick and tired of being told whether we're patriotic or not. When the people who are telling us in Washington, D.C. that we're not being particularly patriotic don't even know what patriotism is. Many of them never even served in combat. Who are these people? Who are these people who are trying to define patriotism when they don't even know what kindness, what love of country really is all about? Because what we have seen is not patriotism. What we have seen is a behavior pattern that will make us all here in this country even greater targets of terror, not less. What they are doing is they are putting our lives in danger with their policy. People were intimidated at first after September 11th. People were afraid. I remember how difficult it was. I thought of Dr. King and his brilliant Riverside address. And when was it? April of 1967? That wonderful address. When even Dr. King talked about how difficult it was to speak, how difficult it was to bring that voice up from inside of him, that truth, and speak. But Dr. King said, as hard as it may be, we must speak, and we must speak from our hearts, from our humanity, from our love, from our faith. We have to overcome and override this fear, because fear is what these people prey on. We are not a country of fear. We are a courageous people. We are more courageous than all of these bombs, than all of these idiotic wars, than all of these aggressions, than all of this rationale about how these people are our enemies. I mean, we are creating enemies by allowing that behavior in Washington. That incendiary rhetoric is going to cause us more terror in this country than any peace movement. The peace movement is not going to do anything but lead America toward a better and more beautiful place. And the peace movement, lastly, let me say this, that the peace movement is a part of an American movement. This movement is a democratic movement. This is about democracy. This is about creating a country of the people, by the people, and for the people, and really and truly meaning it. I was born on the birthday of this country. I believe this country can have a rebirth, and I truly believe that you sitting in this beautiful outdoor theater, you will be a part of this rebirth. As Americans, and as citizens of the world, you will see a new world and a new country born in the time, the precious time remaining, in the precious time remaining that we all have on this earth. You will see the beginning of that beautiful world and that authentic American democracy, because that is what we are going to have. That is what we are going to fight for, and that is what you deserve. Thank you very much.